It's a media company called The Clouds. It's been around about 7 years, and it produces some of the most watched and influential videos in recent memories. Its biggest and only client, Al-Qaeda. As-Sahab, which means the clouds, is the media arm that produces and distributes messages for the terrorist group. Initially, those sort of like cable access-looking tapes have now grown into sophisticated productions. Here in this clip, Ayman al-Zawahiri sits on a set with lighting, a backdrop. He's mic'd better than some of the bands at rock concerts, as he tells Americans they just need to get with Islam.
وبدلاً من هذه الترهات فإننا ندعو الأمريكان إلى الإسلام.
This is benign compared to some of the propaganda shown, such as blown-up U.S. Humvees, or, say, a release this week of a tape of Osama bin Laden urging Iraqis to join him. Let's bring in Ben Venske. He's a chief executive officer of Intel Center, a firm that tracks and analyzes al-Qaeda messages. Good morning, Ben.
Hi, good morning.
So in reading up on this, there was an expert interviewed in the Washington Post, not you, by the way, that said if you want to stop al-Qaeda on the communications front, you should concentrate on their IT manager instead of Osama. Do you think that's accurate?
Well, I think the one problem that we have here is you have to understand the reality of the modern age. There might be an interest by some to stop these messages from coming out and other things like that. And even if you go after the IT manager instead of bin Laden, while it's certainly appropriate, when you look at how these messages are released, technologically it's just simply impossible. If somebody wants to put something out on the Internet and circulate it around the world, there really isn't anything that you can do to prevent that kind of activity.
It appears that Al-Sahab are their early adapters of technology, early adopters of technology, I should say. Can you give me a couple examples of how they've used technology to step up the dissemination of the message?
Yeah, you can actually, it's kind of very interesting because you can actually chart their progress in direct relationship with a number of technological advances. They are more specifically, originally when they did videos, they did them on VHS tapes. Well, VHS tapes are big, they're bulky, they're not easy to move around. As soon as CD-ROMs became available, they started using something called a VCD, which is sort of an early predecessor to the DVD that would allow you to play video on a computer. That allowed them to greatly increase the number of people that they were able to, you know, physically copy and move these around to. And then as soon as internet speeds became faster, as soon as storage space became much cheaper and more available, that same quality version that was going out on a VCD would then be available on the internet. And every kind of technological advance that would either allow them to do better animation, do better graphics, or distribute the videos more broadly, we've seen them adopting the second that it's commercially available.
So when I think about this as a PR media arm, am I supposed to think about them in some urban area somewhere, or are we talking about people in the hinterlands of Pakistan?
Well, I think when you look at how their organization is structured and the kinds of things that you're doing, it's multifaceted. You know, obviously the people that they're interviewing, the subjects that they're talking to, and I think the direction and coordination for the effort is something that could be in the very remote areas and in the mountains along the border between Afghanistan and Pakistan, where bin Laden is believed to be hiding. When you look at the other side of the operation, that would actually be taking the videos and uploading them to internet sites and things like this. While some of that can be done in a remote area, you're more likely to find the kind of resources that they need in terms of just simply bandwidth speed, being how quickly they can upload things, being in a more urban area.
In terms of uploading videos, why aren't they traceable?
Well, you know, it's a very understandable question, I think, that everyone sees when they see all these videos coming out, especially now that they're doing releasing them at a rate of one every 3 days. People go, well, you know, right there's bin Laden. Why can't you follow the video back, whether it's going onto the Internet or being handed to Al Jazeera or another news organization? And the simple answer is they're very good at their operational security. And while there is definitely a logical connection there between when the video goes public and going all the way back to, say, where bin Laden is located, or at least the video production operation where they're physically located, they're very good at inserting sort of cutouts and security measures along the way in order to prevent a direct trace back to where they are.
Who's funding all of this?
We know in both with Al-Qaeda as well as with the Taliban and others, they believe incredibly in the importance of this work. And we believe that they're actually these organizations, As-Sahab in this case, is actually a direct part of the Al-Qaeda organization. So the funding and the support and the resources being dedicated to it would be coming from Al-Qaeda. And I think with the increased production and the quality of the material and the fairly significant amount of computers and other resources and time that they're in putting into this effort shows that Al-Qaeda feels that this is a real critical element to the overall fight, in addition to attacks and the other kinds of things that we more commonly associate with the terrorist group.
Ben, that brings me to my question, which is, when you look at how much emphasis they place on the message, should we rethink what the war on terrorism, quote-unquote, is? I mean, are we in a war with Al-Qaeda, or are we in an, or is the U.S. in an argument with Al-Qaeda?
Well, I think there's no question that we are in a war with Al-Qaeda when you have their side going around and blowing up buildings and hijacking planes and other things, which, while we haven't seen any large-scale attacks in the United States since 9/11, we have seen them rather relentlessly around the rest of the world. And I think the important thing here that we need to take to heart, though, is, you know, if you go back, say, 20 years, we would have killed to have terrorist groups explain ad nauseum about their philosophies, their approaches, their targeting preferences, filming their training, filming their operations so that we can see how the attack took place instead of trying to reconstruct the attack afterwards. We never had anything like that before. And if we look at what Al-Qaeda is doing now and all the other groups are doing, they're filming every aspect of this material and releasing it. But the problem is, instead of recognizing how valuable this is and how much we would have loved to have had this 20 years ago, we now have this tendency to look at it and go, oh, this is just propaganda. This is just them sort of spinning things and sort of mouthing off and dismissing it out of hand, when in reality, if we want to understand what they're going to target, how they're going to do it, they have a long history of telling us ahead of time. It's just we need to choose to listen to it.
Ben Venske is CEO of Intel Center. Thanks for being with us, Ben.
Thank you.